We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you speak to us today in your word, may your Spirit help us to gain greater clarity and understanding. May we appreciate the depths and the lengths that you go to for the salvation of sinners all over the world, including us. And so, Lord, may we rejoice in this word that you have preserved for us. May we be strengthened, transformed, and ready to serve you in the vocations that you have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I loved Pastor Bray's analogy of flying the plane and how complicated it could be, and that connection to the word. I was thinking after he gave that, as I was sitting there thinking about the message, and I thought, you know, how many of you out there are golfers? Men, women, golfers, right? I don't golf anymore because it's just so painful. It's painful for me. It's painful for the people with me. It's painful for the ball. It's painful for my clubs. It's painful all over the place. And then you get to 18 and you hit this shot like Tiger Woods, and you're like, where was that the last 17 holes? And you come back. Now, what does that have to do with this? Well, Scripture is similar, although I wouldn't say it's as brutal as playing golf, but sometimes there are stories in Scripture that just capture your attention that are the stories that I see as they're the ones that always bring you back to the Scriptures, because you know there's more stories like that. And it's one that's endearing, right? And so you have those go-to Scripture passages. And this is one of them today from Acts chapter 8. There's so much supernatural activity happening in today's text. It's a little mysterious, if you will. You have one of the apostles, Philip, who out of nowhere has an angel appear to him and give him a mission. And we'll get into the mission here in a little bit. Gives him a mission, and he then goes on this mission, and as he draws nearer to the mission, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit pops up and speaks to him. And then at the end of the mission, the Holy Spirit just makes him disappear. I mean, this is some real God stuff happening right here that only he could make happen in a scenario like this. And it's so much that it leads us to ask, what's behind all of this? Why is God doing this? What's the point? Or what is God trying to help us see in today's story? What can we draw from it that might help us today? And so as we get into this story, so Philip has the angel, and the angel tells him, I want you to take the desert road south from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's it, right? Philip, like all apostles who are sent by the Lord, goes. And he's on this road. Doesn't seem that he has any inclination of what to expect. He comes upon a chariot going down the road toward Gaza. And in it, there's an Ethiopian eunuch who also happens to have a complete roll of the scroll of Isaiah that he's just reading through in the chariot. And then Philip's drawing closer, and the Spirit says, hey, go up to this chariot. All right, so he goes up to the chariot, and he hears, which was a common practice, the Ethiopian eunuch reading the text out loud. That was the most common way of reading the Scriptures, was you always read it out loud. And he says to him, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guides me? And then the Ethiopian eunuch invites Philip into his chariot. And Philip, beginning with that passage in Isaiah, shows him and teaches him how this connects to Jesus Christ. And then seems to, at some point, show how baptism is this gift by which you can be connected to Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. See, now you wonder, why didn't God just send the angel to the eunuch? Why didn't he just let the Spirit start speaking to the eunuch and say, hey, you got some questions? I'm here to help. What is it about this that God desires to work in these supernatural ways? And it can be nothing other than God desires his people to come together and engage the Word, and through that Word to also work salvation. It's a collective effort. The God of all creation, the God who is our Redeemer, has determined that this is the way that people will get connected to Jesus, is gathering together around the Word and showing how when you're in the Word, the purpose of reading and understanding is always ultimately to get you to the work and life of Jesus Christ and its significance for you and all the world. And the ways by which he allows people outside of his adopted family to find their way into it. So, as you think about this, you could maybe see yourself in either the eunuch, or maybe even slightly in Philip. You could be someone who says, you know, I'm just really not confident about my understanding of the Scriptures. I need some help. It's a little bit frightening. It's a little bit overwhelming. It's a little bit like looking at all the controls in an airplane. Or you might be somebody who says, you know, I have at least, I'm not an expert, but I do have a level of comfort and understanding and confidence from the Scriptures. I could at least get somebody started who has some questions, you know. And you could be anywhere on that spectrum, and it's really not a matter of where you are on the spectrum, whether you know a lot or you know little. The point is God wants us to be together around it to grow and learn and read it and understand it together. This is the way by which he has designed this to happen. I always thought, you know, the best job in the world for me, I love the Word of God. I love reading it. I love spending time in it. I also love naps. But you know, there's just no job that allows me to just only read the Scriptures and then take a nap and have a roof over my head and food. Although prison would permit that, but that brings in a whole lot of other stuff too. So I've got to figure out, how do I do these things outside of prison, right? And then I turned to our congregation and I realized, you know, this is what we got going on. We have these things called journey groups, right? And they're in this little booklet that you can get outside in the atrium. And the whole purpose behind the different types of groups is simply to get you and I together around God's Word. To learn, what does it mean to live in Christ? And to be part of the body of Christ. There's no better way to spend your time than that. It's the most significant gift from the Lord and exercise that we could ever decide to be a part of. And I guarantee you, there's going to be somebody who's going to help you gain greater clarity. And I guarantee you, there will be a moment when you will then be able to help someone else. Now, will an angel appear? Will the Spirit work? You know, I don't know. We have that revealed to us in this story from Acts, but what I do know is God is always working behind the scenes to get people together that the gospel might be heard and that people might be saved. or strengthened or mature in their faith. So my encouragement to you this morning is find a group. Join a group. Start a group. And step into that life-giving, life-changing, life-transforming word. And let's do it collectively as God has designed for it to be done. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in this marvelous moment where we see your hands all over the situation for the sole purpose of bringing this Ethiopian eunuch to salvation through baptism, who in the moment of his baptism, the one who helped him understand simply disappears. He enters back into his chariot and just goes on his way rejoicing, just a normal day on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Lord, may you use us in such ways. Maybe it won't appear or seem or feel as remarkable as this story. But Lord, we know, like in this story, you're always working. You're always seeking to bring us together around your word, that we might grow, that we might mature, that we might understand the incredible depth of your love and sacrifice for sinners like us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.